Canto 5. I had already parted from those shades and followed in my leader's steps, when one behind me cried, "But look how the light fades!" He pointed at my walking shadow. "None of all the rays shine to his left below. He seems to bear himself like one alive." I turned to see who should be speaking so, and saw them watching, buzzing like a hive, amazed at me and at my broken light. "Why," said my guide, "so tangled in the mind? How can you be concerned by what they might be murmuring there? Stay with me close behind, and let them talk. Stand like a tower, staunch, unshaken at its top by gusts of wind, for always when a man has thoughts that launch themselves from one the next, his mark is pinned further away, as one thought drains the force out of the other." So what could I say except, "I come"? I said it with remorse, and felt my face gain color in a way that sometimes makes a man fit to receive a pardon. Meanwhile, people walked across the slope ahead and sang as if to grieve the Miserere line by line. But loss was not their fate, for mercy, I believe, was theirs already, although in the psalm they went on pleading for it. When they saw the way I blocked the sun, they changed their calm cantata to an "Oh!" long drawn and raw. And one of them, the messenger, ran out to meet us, asking, "What should you disclose?" My guide, "You can go back and be about your business straight away of telling those who sent you that this man is made of flesh, and if his shadow stopped them, that should be sufficient answer. They need none afresh. Just do him honor and collect the fee." I never saw at nightfall the clear sky, cloven by kindled vapor in a streak of light, nor ever saw the lightning fly through sunset clouds in August. Here I speak of things on earth, to match for sudden speed the way those two returned above, and when they reached the rest they turned thus to proceed with them towards us, as a troop of men turned into horses given rein might run. "These souls are many, and they come to press petitions on us," said the poet. "None should stop you. Move on. Make your pace no less, and listen as you go. O soul that goes with, for your bliss, the selfsame limbs that you were born with," they cried as they came, "suppose you slowed your steps a little. If you knew any of us before, look hard, you could take news of us back yonder. Why go on? Why don't you stop? Hear what we say. You should, for all of us by violence died, far gone in sin until the last hour when the blaze of heaven's light brought understanding. We, repenting and forgiving from life's ways, emerged into God's peace. The urge to see our benefactor fills our yearning heart." And I search your faces thoroughly, but don't see one I know. All that apart, if there is anything, souls born for bliss, that I can do to please you, by the peace which I go seeking from that world to this, with such a guide to follow, I'll not cease striving to get it done. And one began, "In your good offices it needs no oath, if there be power enough for the will's plan, therefore before the rest I'm nothing loath to speak. If ever you should see the land lying between Romagna and that held by Charles, by which I mean, you understand, all Naples, then I pray you be impelled by courtesy to beg them in Fano good prayers be made for me, so that I may purge my grave sins, for I am Jacopo, who came from there, but I was far away near Padua when all my deep wounds poured my life's blood, and the son of Antenor, heirs to the Trojan traitor, could afford no safety to me. He of Este bore the burden of the crime, if not the sword. He hated me beyond the bounds of law, yet if towards La Mira I had turned my flight, after his horsemen tracked me down at Oracchio, then I might have spurned my fate and taken refuge in that town and still be up there breathing. But I ran into the marsh. Trapped by the reeds and mud, I fell full length, the measure of a man, and saw the spreading pool of my own blood." Another spoke. as I pray your desire be satisfied, that draws you to the high and fruitful hill, just so may I require your gracious pity's helping hand. For I was born in Montefeltro, Guido's son, Buonconte. Not my wife Giovanna, no, nor anybody else, not even one, has care for me, and so alone I go, even among all these with downcast brow. And I to him. What force, what chance, took you so far from Campaldino? No one now knows where your body's buried. It was true we beat your Ghibellines, but you somehow were not among the dead. And he. A creek below the Casentino's foot they call the Archiano. It comes down from the peak above the Hermitage. For all its fall, the Apennines surround it. To the place where that small stream gives up its early name, with wounded throat and flying foot, a trace of dark blood all across the plain I came. Then I lost sight and speech. I had the grace to end by naming Mary as I fell, and just my flesh remained. But now I would say what is true. Make it the truth you tell among the living. God in his great good sent down his angel, and the one from hell cried, You from heaven, why do you rob me? You take from me this man's eternal part for just one little tear. It's larceny. But with his mortal flesh, I'll make a start on dealing in another way. You know how humid vapor gathering in the air returns as rainfall when its upward flow climbs to the colder realm which holds it there until it liquefies, then lets it go. The prince of ill will has a mind to care only for evil, and he moves the cloud and wind by his peculiar natural force. So Campaldino's valley, where a shroud of mist when that sad day had run its course, covered the mountains rising from the plain, from Pratomango to the peaks. The sky turned dense, the saturated air made rain, more water than the earth could nullify, flooded the ditches and the rivulets collected in the streams that fed the great river that finds the sea. No one forgets the Arno rules us in a princely state, even when it's at peace. But now its source, the Archiano, rampaged at such a pace, nothing before it could resist its force. The torrent found my frozen corpse. Its face swallowed me up and swept me on, until the Arno took apart upon my breast the cross I made when pain had worked its will and overwhelmed me. All along its banks and bed the river rolled me. Then it decked me with its spoils, and so I owe it thanks for giving me a grave none can detect. The third soul spoke. When you return into the world, and rest has eased the price you paid for this long road, think how I said to you, Siena made me. What Siena made was broken by Maremma. And think who said this. I am La Pia, murdered on the orders of my husband, locked away and dealt with so that he might, with me gone, marry again. He's still up there today. He knows about it. He who with his jewel pledged love and faith and wed me, and was cruel.